5 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Pleased to welcome in Steve Ivey of Crackers College Hoops blog and podcast, regular contributor to this show with Brady Hall, as well as on our Ram Nation Radio podcast, a great friend of ours. He's sitting in for the rest of the show as we shift our focus to hoops. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. Hey, let's get on with this this third hour. You guys did great in the first 2 hours. I'm really pleased to be here. I do a little segment with Brady usually every week. It's the first time I've been in studio, and all I could think of was how great it would be to be in the house that Brady built. You know, I've managed to play golf at Pebble Beach, play the same holes as Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. I've shot baskets at hoops at Duke University, where guys like David Thompson have made baskets, and now I'm in the house that Brady built. So let's have some fun, and let's talk hoops.
Well, you've been going through a few withdrawals. We've only had, what, 3 games in 3 weeks after a real flurry?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It is our home away from home in the wintertime, and I no longer have the women's basketball season tickets, but the men keep me busy enough, and it's going to be fun getting this kick-started Friday night, tomorrow night, celebrating, I think, Isaiah Stevens becoming the career scoring leader at CSU. And then we move right into conference play with what could be, believe it or not, you could see the opening game of the conference be the game of the year in the Mountain West. So it's exciting with New Mexico coming in on Tuesday.
And we'll get a chance to talk a lot in depth about that game with Jeff Grammer coming in here from the Albuquerque Journal. And so... have you heard? Is there going to be a big hullabaloo about honoring?
I haven't
Isaiah
heard anything.
Mark?
I would hope they would. And I think the other cool thing is Zay can go over 2,000 points on Friday night. So he's at, I think, 1985, 1986. So a normal game for him would be about 16, 18 points. We're looking at a guy going over 2,000 points for the first time ever, CSU player going over 2,000, immense player. He would be joining Pat Cartier and Joel Scott as 2,000-point scorers. Of course, they did most of their scoring at the D2 level, but those points still count, and it's kind of fun that we're going to have three players over 2,000 points.
How do you weigh in on – so we had Adam Nygaard on recently, last week, and we were talking about – fifth year and how Zay is going to now perhaps pass him in steals and all this stuff. And he's saying it in jest, right? He's joking. But, you know, he's getting 5 years. And now that's going to break Pat Durham. He broke Pat Durham's record. How do you? And I remember we talked to you about, you know, I just don't love this fifth year thing. Of course, we all love it that he's back and to get to see him another year. But it kind of skews some statistics and historical records, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you followed college basketball last year, a guy named Antoine Davis was in his fifth full year, a real big scoring threat, and they were making a big deal about him passing Pete Maravich, who set the all-time NCAA career scoring record in 3 seasons, not even 4. Davis finished just a few points short of him. So, and of course, you know, I'm an old school guy and I love Maravich. I grew up with Maravich. But, you know, records are made to be broken. Someday this record might be broken, but I think it's important you just give credit to Isaiah for sticking it out. He's broken Durham's record, and I think he's only played 3 or 4 more games than Pat. He got gypped in some of the postseason stuff. Isaiah obviously missed games last year with injury. So he's really only played a few more games, and his career scoring average is within half a point of Durham. So both of them tremendous players. I don't think you can minimize anything that's been done, even if it is his fifth year. Nygaard's just worried about his record being broken, and more credit to him. I got to come clean. I listened to Adam yesterday. I didn't vote for him being a guy to come off the bench. I don't think he would have made it off the bench on this team. I think he would have been the guy at the end of the bench waving towels.
Oh, my gosh. Adam, I apologize. Our good man here, Steve Ivey, just thrown you to the wolves. But that's not any ding on it. I just think this team this year is loaded, right, top to bottom.
Well, you look at it and you go, okay, guy like Tavy Jackson, who I think is going to be a really, really good player once he gets into full-time minutes and starting on a regular basis. He showed what he could do last year as a freshman. But when Jalen Lake and Josiah Strong come back, Tavy and Kyan Evans, a very talented freshman, are going to have a hard time getting off the bench. And so, getting a minute here, a minute there. This team is loaded with depth, and they've shown it in the absence of Lake and Strong. The fact that they've managed to survive. Yeah, we had that one loss to St. Mary's. That had nothing to do with Tavy and Kai, and it had to do with the fact we just didn't shoot very well, and St. Mary's did. They had guys making three-pointers, but those guys came off the bench, and they did just fine. So the depth of this team is fantastic.
It's something that we haven't seen at CSU for a very long time. You look back at the team 2 years ago. I mean, we really were about seven deep, and this is – I mean, we can go 9-10 – pretty easy, and you look at a Kyle Evans who, with his size, you think, yeah, we need to get him on the floor. We're not seeing it. You know, we're not seeing a need for him. You look at Payne, another guy that you're thinking, hey, this kid can do. And you look at the early season scrimmage, you know, he was looking pretty good. He hasn't seen the floor at all other than mop-up duty. I love the depth, and it is fun, and it's fun to joke about it with Adam Nygon. I voted the same way you did. No offense, you are the number two Broomfield Eagle that I know, Adam, just so that you know that.
I don't want to minimize Adam's contributions. Adam was very, very important in the Tim Miles area of raising the level of the team just with his play. And he was a good player, a good Mountain West player, so I don't want to minimize it. But like I said, and we don't need to belabor it, I think he'd have a hard time getting into this particular lineup. The other thing, Mike, I wanted to bring up was, the difference between this year and the team 2 years ago is this team is a lot older and a lot more experienced. You look at the core of what was put on the court 2 years ago, and they were juniors. This year's team is fifth and sixth year players. Strong and Carday have been around for 6 years. Joel Scott, fifth year. Zay, fifth year. You go on and on with the experience. And CSU is one of the absolute older teams. In terms of experience in the country, you don't see them get credit for it on KenPom because KenPom doesn't give credit to D2 players. CSU's without even giving credit to Cartier and Scott and the years they've played at the D2 level, CSU is still the 79th most experienced team in the country. If you add in Cartier and Scott's minutes with their respective D2 programs, they'd probably be top 10. And that's one of the reasons the Mountain West is thriving, is the amount of experience within the top teams. Seven of the Mountain West top teams are in the top 85, I think, in terms of experience, so the top 25 percentile. And Nevada is very, very good, and they're the sixth most experienced team in the country. So experience plays a big deal. This team is stronger than the team of 2 years ago, Mike.
We'll get into more about the Rams and as well as Mountain West talk, but we got about, a minute and a half here. Can you give us a quick rundown on the standings of your mythical Front Range League?
Oh, my gosh. CSU running away with it. We're seeing 3-0. CU is 1-1. UNC is 1-2 with a win over Air Force. DU has dropped games to CSU. Air Force dropped a game again to UNC. UNC will meet DU, I believe. I think it's tomorrow night. It's either tonight or tomorrow night. They're playing. And so we'll see some change in the standings. You know, one of the things, if CSU can go clean against Wyoming and Air Force, they have a chance to go 7-0 in Crackers Front Range League. They've never gone 7-0 against those teams. They've gone 6-1 lots of times, but I don't recall them ever going 7-0. So it would be a great accomplishment, and they'll get a chance to do that with home and road games against the Air Force and of course, Wyoming.
A little disappointed that you left out CSU Pueblo and Adams State, because CSU's 4-0 in the state with a chance to go 5-0 tomorrow night.
Yeah, I didn't count D2
games. Are you like the Ken Pom?
They're in the JV league, which I don't want to minimize the JV league. I saw a Boys in the Boat movie the other day, and the JV team that went on to win the Olympic gold medal in 1936. That was a story. So they're good teams, but I didn't include them this year.
Well, the Rams are on the cusp of the cheese ball, Cusano,
and Salma's. I have to update the photo. The photos of her in recent years are even better than what she looked like back then. So,
all right, well, we better take a break. We're going to bring in Jeff Grammer of the Albuquerque Journal to talk a little bit more of Mountain West hoops. Thanks for listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFK.
KFKA, home of the Hall of Famers. Brian Carey and Coach Bruce Dick. Hear them every day on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back to The Hall Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's 1:21 p.m. I am Joel Kenalamessa with Mike Rowe and Steve Ivey, and we are pleased to welcome in Jeff Grammer of the Albuquerque Journal. He's on the New Mexico Lobos beat and one of the most knowledgeable Mountain West hoops reporters out there. He's a New Mexico State Aggie who's just so happens to be covering in the New Mexico Lobos, so he doesn't always get a fair shake from either fan base, but we love him. We've had him on our podcast several times. He's great, great, full of information. Jeff, thanks for joining us, pal.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, guys.
Well, so we have a good product to cover this year with the Mountain West, yep. And you've got a good one there. There's a good one in Fort Collins here. Mountain West so far has 4 1-loss teams so far, 6 Mountain West teams in the top 72 of KenPom. You've got 4 of those in the top 37. CSU's 28, San Diego State 30, New Mexico 34, Nevada 37. Are any of these schools in these top, are these teams in the top 6 of the Mount West paper tigers? Are we looking at a pretty strong league, at least the top half?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a pretty strong league. I think the one you have the most questions about would have to be Utah State. I think they're, just entirely new roster, so you'd still have to have some questions about them. If you just look at strength of schedule and things like that, obviously New Mexico didn't play a very tough one. Nevada didn't exactly play a tough one. They're coming off a great week in Hawaii, but it's not like they beat any ranked teams there either. So, Nevada, Utah State, New Mexico, because of strength of schedule, I will say that both Nevada, well, frankly, Utah State too, but both Nevada and New Mexico, if you look at what they did against their schedule, they pretty much handled it, not just, beating some decent teams. They were beating them all by double figures. I know New Mexico struggled a couple times. They had one point. Their worst game of the season really wasn't their only loss. It was probably their one-point win over rival New Mexico State, but that's always a weird one where you play an in-state rival twice a year, every year. The more you play rivals, funny things happen, and when you play them twice in the same year within a 13-day span, in this case, some weird things happen. But the Lobos, for about, I'd say 9 of their 12 games so far this year, have looked really, really good. Regardless of the competition they were playing against.
So you just talked about both teams. And, Jeff, this is Mike Rowe. Great to have you on with us again, by the way.
Yeah, I love being on with you guys.
Now, you just talked about both programs, Nevada and New Mexico, both of them 1 loss. But both of them have some of the worst strength of schedules in non-conference play in the NCAA, even though Nevada had wins over a couple named teams in TCU and Georgia Tech this last weekend. What do we really know about both these programs heading into conference play?
Yeah, well, so I'll start with Nevada. What I would say about Nevada, what we know about them is what we kind of already knew, right? I think Jared Lucas and Kenan Blackshear are phenomenal. It's a phenomenal backcourt. I think when Kenan Blackshear gets rolling, he is a 6'6" point guard, basically, that is such a mismatch that he could take over games and make things so difficult on opposing teams because he rebounds well. He backs you down, a little Hunter Maldonado-ish in his ability to back down guards from a point guard spot and play back to the basket. But I will say that some of the players that stepped up around him this year, Davidson in particular, who was a good freshman last year, we kind of already knew that, though, right? I don't think Nevada, despite being very good this year, I don't think they're anything we didn't kind of know. For New Mexico, I'll say this. Everyone knows about Jamal Mashburn Jr. and Jalen House, but they've played 480 minutes of basketball so far, and those two have been on the court together 15 minutes and 4 seconds. And it was in the season opener. Jalen House then missed the next five games. Jamal Mashburn Jr. missed the next seven, or the past seven now. They overlapped once where they both missed one game entirely, and they easily won by 20 that game. Mashburn will be back tomorrow night for Colorado State fans waiting for next week. Jamal Mashburn will play against their only non-Division I opponent, that is tomorrow night in Albuquerque against Eastern New Mexico. And they'll test his thumb a little bit. He did injure his quad, is why he initially was out, but then kind of re-examined a thumb that had been bothering him all year, and they found a little bit of a tear. So he basically rested it for more than a month now, and he's been practicing for over a week now that he could have played last week, but they said, why play one game and then wait a week? Let's just give him another week of rest, and he is going to play tomorrow night, see how the thumb goes. And then the Lobos' problem is this. They got to figure out how to work in, you know, their third-year leading scorer into a rotation that's been playing pretty good without him, with Donovan Dent being their best player now. It's not Jamal Mashburn Jr. It's not Jalen House. It's Donovan Dent. And you got to figure out a way to get Jalen House, Jamal Mashburn Jr., and Donovan Dent, three ball dominant guards, keep them happy. And, you know, it's a nice problem to have. Nobody's feeling sorry for Richard Pitino trying to figure out how to work, you know, in late December starting league play, how to work in Jamal Mashburn Jr., but it is going to be an issue. They've been really good, and part of it's because they got two freshmen that are a lot better than I think people thought, and part of it's because Donovan Dent didn't just get better, he got a whole lot better.
Hey, Jeff, this is Steve. Speaking of Donovan Dent, what a revelation this year, as you've been saying, going from backup guard minutes to lead guard, winning games at the end, absolutely leading the offense. I did want to hit on this whole thing with House and Mashburn and Dent, and of course you've got True Washington, the freshman who's playing very, very well in the backcourt as well, and 18th year senior Jamal Baker as well. You've got five guards, and as you alluded to with the minutes, how do you split them up? And I wanted to ask you from your perspective, if you look at the numbers of what's been going on with New Mexico defensively, they look a lot better this year than they were last year. Yeah. But if you also look at the games that House missed and Mashburn played, they had their worst defensive performances in those games early in the season. Do you think that was those bad defensive performances were due to House not being there or Mashburn playing? This is a pretty tough question for you to answer.
Both. I mean, I think first of all, the head of the dragon or the snake or however you want to put it is Jalen House on defense. I think they are able to press this year because they have depth. The two freshmen they have, by the way, True Washington and JT Toppin, are defensive, probably their two best defensive players, frankly. They are fantastic defensive players all around, but it all starts with Jalen House at that point guard spot and on ball pressure. And, so him being out was a big part of it. Donovan Dent, frankly, is a really good shot blocker from the point guard position, which is kind of weird to say, but he blocks an awful lot of shots at that spot, and is a good rebounder. Jamal Mashburn Jr., on the other side of the coin, is the worst defender in the top, you know, seven or eight of the rotation. The only kind of leeway I'll give Mashburn is he's never been asked to be their lead defender. He's never the guy they've ever asked to go, hey, use your energy stopping that guy. They need him to create a shot at the end of a shot clock to score when they have scoring droughts. They need him to do that. And I know it's not sometimes what fans want to hear, But there is an understanding sometimes when you have a good pure scorer that you kind of let him get away with it a little bit. Excuse me. And Mash coming back, it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Do you think they do you foresee a lineup where Dent, House, and Mashburn play together?
I talked with Pitino this morning. He's going to try and start him. He's going to try and play all three. We'll see how it works. That's a 6 foot, a 6'2", and a 6'2", and they've gotten so much better defensively because of their length, frankly. And that's a short lineup.
We'll talk a little bit more about the upcoming CSU-New Mexico matchup here on January 2nd, just right around the corner, Mountain West opener. We got about a minute and a half before we take a break here, but wanted to get your thoughts on the biggest disappointment for me in the league right now is Boise State at 8-4. They've got a couple of – actually, you look at some of their losses, and they actually aren't as bad as you once thought with Clemson, Virginia Tech, Butler, and Washington State – all proving that they were better than expected in their non-conference slate. But how do you think Boise State has fared in the non-conference play?
Yeah, disappointing is fair. You can't, you know, they will tell you sort of as you just did, and it's fair context to put on it, that they have played a tough schedule. Some of their losses are against pretty good teams. But you can't go into the season every year telling everyone you're the best or one of the best in a title contender and a postseason contender, and then do what you did in the postseason. Your value at this time of year to your league is what your net ranking is, frankly. It doesn't matter how you got there. Whatever your net is going into league play is what the game then counts as a quad one through quad four game, right? So even if you played New Mexico or Nevada's schedule, if you found a way to get your net up into the top 40, you helped your league out because then every time a team plays you, that's a pretty good game. If you played a really tough schedule, but you weren't able to manage it like Boise State, and your net is what Boise State's net is, well, then you didn't help your league out. So you might have played tough competition. You can say that prepared you for league play, but you didn't help your league out. And Boise State didn't help the Mountain West out this year as one of the title contenders and entering league play with a net that's not going to create a situation where that's a huge win. It's not going to be a quad one for anybody. And it's also going to be a situation where it could be not a bad loss, but, you know, Boise State, they're good enough to beat some teams. It's not going to be like a quad one loss where it doesn't really hurt you. It will be a quad two loss in most cases. So, you know, Boise State is still good, obviously. They have a lot of the players back from last year. Their point guard situation maybe is in question, but they still have Degenhart. They're still going to win some games. I just don't think they did very good in the non-conference to help the league out.
You good hanging with us for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get a check on the local sports flash. We'll return with Steve Ivey, Jeff Grammer, Mike Rowe in a flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Joel Kennelmessa, Mike Rowe, back with Steve Ivey and Jeff Grammer of the Albuquerque Journal. Jeff, we were talking about Boise State. Steve, I know you wanted to add something there.
Yeah, Jeff, I actually spoke to somebody who had a good look at Boise State up close and personal, and he echoed a lot of what you said. He thought they really lack a point guard. It's a glaring weakness with Boise, and that's one of the reasons they're struggling. Didn't think they had very good team speed, which causes defensive liabilities, but the power of the team is at the 3, 4, and 5 positions, very physical, and they know how to win. But he thinks they're going to stick around at about the 5 spot and won't challenge at the top of the conference. He also thought Max Rice looked like he played like he was injured. Said he just seemed to be going through the motions. But knowing he's a good player and an all-conference player, figures he'll rise within Mountain West play, but seemed to be playing injured.
Yeah, that sounds about – I have watched them by chance. I've seen them probably four or five times. I've watched them at, you know, more than just a couple of highlights for a good chunk of time in some of their games. And I'd say all that sounds right. Max does look – the funny thing with Max Rice is I think he always looks like he's playing either hurt or you know, just maybe just slow. Maybe he looks like a 12th or 13th year senior. And he's a very awkward player that is a coach's son that knows how to score. And when he's really good, I think he still looks slow and still scores a lot. And when he's, you know, unhealthy, he looks the same. So when the shots aren't falling, I think it looks like he's injured. And when the shots are falling, you just say, man, he's an unorthodox player. But their transfer from UCSB at the point guard, Roddy Anderson, hasn't done what I think they thought he would. So, yeah, point guard play is what I'm seeing lacking for them. And I would agree with whoever you spoke with that if I had to guess, they do hover around that five spot and probably don't make a run at the top.
Now, Brady does a good job. He getting in talk about our neighbors to the north, Wyoming. They played a schedule that was really designed for a total rebuild. They're coming off that at 7-5. They still got a game at Provo this weekend. Is this a team that's gelling, or was there just too much turnover for them to overcome that for this season?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I do think they're starting to get better. Obviously, they got their NAIA Player of the Year. Mason Walters is healthy now. He's played two games from what I believe was a thumb injury. He's back, so that's a key part of this, right? I think you got to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt that they were planning on him being. I don't know if they're going to use him as a Hunter Maldonado type, but they were planning on him being a focal point. And their other two best players, in my mind, are the two new guards they got, Sam Griffin and Aquell Cott. So I think when you got your three best players are all three transfers and new guys and all that, I think you got to give them a little bit of time to get up to speed. They haven't overly impressed otherwise, though, so they're probably what everyone should have expected. They had too much to overcome to be that good, and that's where they are right now. It's probably not all that good right now.
Now, I heard some rumblings after last season. Is Linder on the hot seat?
It's interesting. I wouldn't say the hot seat, but I would say if you just go back 2 years, where he was considered going into, you know, February, especially 2 years ago. The fact that it's even a fair discussion, you know, by now, I don't know if I'd say the hot seat, but it's closer to the hot seat than I think people think. He's got to figure something out after all the player defections and the situations that happened last year. You know, you could have so many players come and say, I'll run through a wall for him, I'll do this for him, all the players have stayed, but when you have that many players leaving, well, then why did you bring them there if they weren't your kind of guy? And that's a fair question to ask. Maybe he's not bringing in the right players if by the end of the year they don't want to play for him anymore. So I think it's a fair question. I don't think the success has been to the level they thought it would, and maybe that was a little unfair expectation put on them because of the success they had the Graham Ike and Hunter Maldonado NCAA tournament season.
So, hey, Jeff, switching gears, we haven't mentioned anything about perennial conference champion San Diego State. What do you see in San Diego State this year? Are they vulnerable?
Yeah, I think so. And Boise State, I think, is the fair sort of disappointment. Maybe because of the Final Four run. You know, I just mentioned unfair expectations because of their own success when it comes to Wyoming 2 years ago. Maybe the Final Four run made us expect too much out of San Diego State, but I do think a lot of people expected more out of San Diego State, frankly. And I thought that was unfair. I thought Brian Dutcher and the team talking last year in Houston, I was lucky enough to go, and they were talking about this team was going to be better than that team. And I'm like, come on, guys, you guys are losing Matt Bradley, Nathan Mensah. You're losing all these big, bulky, kind of pillar-type, identity-type players for a team that's tough and physical. You lost a lot of those guys, the guys you build your whole identity around. So, yeah, they lost an awful lot of their identity-type players, and they had some growing pains to go through. I don't think they're through them yet. It'll be interesting to see them play at Gonzaga tomorrow night. But, yeah, I don't know that Lamont Butler, let's not forget, he had a couple buzzer beaters, hit one in the pit, hit one in the Final Four. But he wasn't a first-team all-league player. He was a really good defender. Darian Chamel's been struggling on offense. I don't know that they have the scorer at the guard spot that replaces Matt Bradley yet. Jaden Ledee is really the only reason they're okay, as opposed to maybe running away with the league like some people maybe thought they would. You know, they've had an All-American kind of performance out of one forward spot that is really the only reason they're even as good as they are right now. So I'm interested to see how they do over the next probably first four or five games of league play.
So given that, am I crazy to think that New Mexico and CSU are the two best teams this year?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if I'm handicapping it, I should have done this coming in because I planned to do it before league play starts next week. I mean, if I'm power ranking it right now, I'd say CSU 1, New Mexico 2. Question marks start really quickly because of the schedule they've played and stuff like that. And last year, obviously, New Mexico was 14-0 and then went 8-10 in league play. So, yeah, you can have all the questions about New Mexico. That's fair. They are a more complete team this year. They lost a really good low post offensive threat, but they gained so much on defense this year that I think they're much better. But I'd say Colorado State 1, New Mexico 2. At 3, you know, frankly, either Nevada or San Diego State. I don't know which one I'd put in there. And then you drop down to the that's the 3-4 spot. And then at 5-6, Utah State, Boise State, whichever order you want there. And then there's a drop-off down to UNLV after that. And even UNLV has a lot of question marks. So beyond that, you know, I just think those top 6 and, yeah, the top 6 teams have a case to be made for making a run at the league title. But I'd really say right now that the favorites going into league play have to be the ones that are playing Tuesday night in Moby. And that's CSU number 1 and New Mexico number 2 in my mind.
Well, we'd love to have you hang on for one more segment. It's a short one. We want to ask you about that matchup, if you can, Jeff.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back after the break. This is the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Ten minutes to the top of the hour. This is Joel Kenalamessa, Mike Rowe, Steve Ivey with Jeff Grammer here on the whole show. Jeff, we've got time for about one more question for you before we drop off for the day. Just curious as to how you see this matchup here on Tuesday.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Playing in Moby is a great environment when things are good, right? I think there's a big kind of bell curve of good Moby and bad Moby, and right now it's rocking, right? So I think it's good Moby right now, and I think it's going to be exciting because these are like I just said before the last break, I think these are the two best teams right now going into league play. And I think when you have guard play at the Mountain West, or at the college level rather, I think it's exciting. And Isaiah Stevens is playing at an All-American level. It's exciting that the league does have two players kind of playing at that level. I mentioned Jaden Ledee at San Diego State, but the New Mexico Lobos have some guards too that when they're on top of their game, they are really, really good. And I think Colorado State fans are gonna be excited to see Donovan Dent and how good he's gotten, because he's really now, it's really a three-headed backcourt now for the Lobos that's really, really good, and it's gonna be exciting. And they got two good freshmen too, the Lobos do. And defense first kind of freshman, and that's it's fun to watch JT Toppin play. I think people are going to be excited to see him. He might be one of the best freshmen, frankly, since Isaiah Stevens. He might be one of the best freshmen in this league in some time. So he's a very different position. Obviously, he's a power forward, but it's going to be exciting. It's two good teams.
Obviously, I have one game in between here with Adams State tomorrow night, but that's a shoe-in, right? I want to get your guys' thoughts before we close up on this game, Steve and Mike.
I'm looking forward to this New Mexico game in a big way. It's probably the most biggest game that New Mexico and CSU have played in 10.5 years, not since that 2013 season when New Mexico came into Moby and Kendall Williams shot lights out, made 10 threes. By the way, I noticed he was at practice earlier this week in the pit. I wonder if he's teaching somebody how to make 10 threes against CSU. But the two teams have gone up and down, and their fortunes haven't been that great over the last 10.5 years in the same season. This looks like things are really, really coming together, and I'm really looking forward to it because I think it's going to be as good a matchup as there is. First conference game of the year with what I think are also the two best teams. And so it should be a lights-out, very exciting, very high-energy kind of game. New Mexico plays pretty fast-paced, pretty hard D. CSU a little more structured, a little more methodical in the half court, and a very, very good offensive team. So I think it's going to be just a tremendous matchup.
I know I'm excited to see hopefully a healthy New Mexico team, and hopefully Jaylen Lake is back for CSU. Just seeing two great teams that have had some awesome battles over the last few seasons, even when one program was down, it just seemed like these games always were hard fought and almost came down to the wire. So I'm excited about it. Really excited to see House and Mashburn come in, and hoping that Moby is rocking like it has been for all of this fall so far.
Well, guys, Jeff, I want to thank you for sitting through three segments with us. Appreciate it. Thanks for all your insights. And
I was told there would be some La Bamba talk. Are we not going to talk about La Bamba?
Unfortunately, we're up against it.
We didn't give Angel any headway into getting some bumper music of La Bamba. We didn't get a chance to talk La Bamba, but we'll get you on the podcast. All right.
That sounds good.
Well, I really enjoyed this day. I really enjoyed Brady giving us the opportunity to do this. Just a couple great texters today. We didn't even get to respond to half of them, but the guy that's been around CSU for a long time, this Eastside Chris, he's a longtime Ram fan. Guys like that would love to see you participate on Ram Nation. We need some new blood and some old-timers that have a lot to add. But, for myself, Joel Cantalamessa, Mike Rowe, who a texter just texted in and said is the AC Slater of Walsh, Colorado. We really enjoyed this. Thank you, Brady. I want to thank our guests, Susie Wargen, Braden Fowler Nicolosi, the great BFN, and Jeff Grammer, as well as Steve Ivey for sitting in with us this hour. Thanks to all of you guys for your text. Thanks to Angel behind the glass. Angel, thanks for making this go smoothly. We were a little bit nervous, and you put our nerves at ease. So thanks for making it run smooth. Brady, thank you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to The Hall Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Go Rams!